Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Greetings, everyone, and welcome again to another wonderful day that the Lord has given us on Blog Talk Radio, Christian Radio. I just want to welcome everybody today to coming on the show, Dr. Hunter Show. Dr. Hunter, greetings to you. Are you doing good today?
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Well, we just want to, we're just thankful again that this is the day the Lord has given us to fellowship once again in His Word. And I just want to open us with prayer today as we begin to go into our fellowship here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God, Lord, that we can't even comprehend all of you, Lord. But we just thank you, Lord, that you are an advocate for us, Lord, that you are the Lamb of God, Lord, that you are the bright morning star. You are the way, the truth, and the light. And if we dwell with you, Lord, we will have the light. And we just thank you, Lord, for keeping us in your loving arms and extending your endless grace to us today, Lord. And we just pray, every Father, for everyone that has been led to come on and fellowship on the show today, that we just pray, Father, for the infilling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you season our words with your salt of life, Lord, and that you fill this fellowship today with your love, your grace, and your patience, Lord, as we go through the show this evening, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And we just honor and we glorify. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to, another day, another week has come upon us. And I'm going to go ahead and I want to say again for those that are listening today, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to you. And I'm going to open today's radio show with Scripture. If we turn to Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And it says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Amen. Thank you for the reading of his word today. Amen. Well, you know, today we're coming upon that time of the year, again, where we're getting close to celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior that's coming close to the end of the month. And we come upon a time of the year where we as the body of Christ begin celebrating and acknowledging his birth and preparing all the different traditions and festivals that come along with it. It's also a time of the month, a time of the year where giving is being emphasized the most. As a matter of fact, not only is giving emphasized within the body of Christ, but even the world celebrates giving during this time of the year as well. It's just a great time of the year, and obviously we should be, especially as Christians, should be giving every day of our life throughout the course of the year, but this is the time of the year that it tends to be highlighted the most, the spirit of giving. So as we embark upon this month, because today is just the third month, the third day of this month, as we hear whether it's things going on in the world or things going on in the body of Christ, we hear a lot of different ideas and philosophies on what giving is and how you give and all the different things you do. And so as we begin this month and we get closer to the day in which we recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior, I want to do a little bit of a short mini-series on giving based on how the Word of God defines giving. And so we're going to do this through his word. And what better time to talk about giving especially around the time where we're celebrating the fact that God, our Heavenly Father, gave us the greatest gift of all in all humanity, and that was the gift of His Son to us, who came, who lived, who died, and who was resurrected with all glory. And through His act of God's act of giving, He created again the bridge between us and Him, that we may be reconciled with Him and have an opportunity to be with Him life eternally when this temporary life is over. So today we're going to talk about why do we give. We're going to talk about why do we give. And we're not going to try not to keep it too long today. Why do we give? We're going to talk about a few key points from our opening scripture about the poor widow in Luke 21. We're going to talk a little bit about the difference between ownership and stewardship of our possessions.
Oh,
the differences between those two. Amen. We're going to talk about those two as it concerns the possessions, the things that God gives us. And we're also going to talk about why do we give? And that's where we're going to go. This is the things we're going to touch on today. So in Luke chapter 21, we just read those scriptures, and Jesus is making a point to his disciples where you have a lot of people coming in and they're giving out of their wealth and putting a lot in the treasury, but the widow came, the poor widow came, and she put in everything she had. And so obviously one of the messages that God and Jesus has given us from this point is that when we give out of what we reserve for our own needs, it tends to mean more than what we give out of the abundance of our resources. Amen? It tends to mean a lot more, and it says a lot more about us. In other words, we all know what it's like when we have something and then it gets down to our last, and you know you get in conversation, that's my last, and it makes a big deal when you give someone your last. Or like if I'm eating with my wife and we're kind of going through a meal or something like that, and you know I have a plate of spaghetti and sausage, and she reaches over and it's my last sausage I've been saving for myself, and then she asks me for it, you know, even in the small things. I say, well, I'm gonna give it to her because I love it, you know, because I reserve it for myself, but I'm going to go and give it to her. And then there's the big things as well. A better example would be, to reemphasize this point, is it's kind of like if you have $100. If you have $100 and someone comes up to you and say, hey, man, you know, I'm really struggling. You know, do you mind if you give me $5 so that I can go get a meal because I haven't eaten and I'm hungry? Now, you know, giving someone – you know, $5 out of $100, and if you don't have something particularly planned for it, you know, we all want to do the right thing. You know, so I don't know anybody, especially a Christian, who said, look, man, here, go take this $5. But at the end of the day, you know, when time goes on, we may not really remember that $5 because it didn't cause us much suffering or loss of anything to give this person $5, even though it's the right thing to do to give this thing $5. However, if all we have is $5 in our wallet and we have plans for it, and, you know, this is our last, and we get ready to go get something to eat, and then someone comes to us, maybe a brother in Christ, or maybe someone that's not saved at all, but, you know, they're on the street, and they just said, man, you could just help me with a meal. And you know it's between this person eating and you eating, but you give this person your last and are willing to go without, then that tends to be said more about ourselves and be more meaningful. And it's because what we have done is when we give someone something that we've had almost reserved for ourselves, not even knowing, you know, we, especially as Christians, we know and believe that God is going to take care of us, but sometimes we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. When we give someone our last, what we're really doing is we're putting the needs of someone else's needs over our own, and we're willing to go without. And that is a deep expression of God's love. And that's a great example of what the widow did. She, you know, the Bible says that she put in all she had. And so I wasn't there. We weren't there, but we have to believe that she believed that, you know what, God is going to continue to provide for me. And even if he doesn't, someone else could probably use this a little bit more than I have. And so it means a lot more when, you know, God comes and says, look, give of your own resources to someone else and just trust in me that I'm going to do for you. When we give in compassion, okay? We give in compassion. Even give all we have, even knowing we may not get anything out of it. Because through this type of giving, again, as we talked about earlier, God's great love is being expressed to the receiver. Okay, and through our giving to someone else, they are being, God is being glorified. You know, it's nothing like, I like anyone else to know what it's like to be on the receiving end. Or when, you know, I've been in need for something or whatnot, and I've had a friend of mine, and I knew it, that he gave me his last. You know, he gave me his last, you know, and he didn't even know how he was going to get it. And you only do that in love. You only do that in love. And so, again, while there's nothing wrong, we should give. There's nothing wrong with giving out of our abundance. But sometimes, you know, a lot of times we don't have as much. We don't have a lot ourselves to give. But it doesn't change the fact that God has given us an opportunity to express deep love by giving to someone out of our own resources of something that it may be our last, or we may even go without. And so, it expresses God's love. Another point is, you know, we all have possessions. Now, we're going to talk about this whole ownership and stewardship thing. You know, we all have possessions that God has given us, whether it is our money or our time. You know, we all have resources. But the question is, does any of it really belong to us? Does any of it really belong to us? And so, in other words, you know, as Christians, we, you know, we tithe. You know, to give this example, we tithe, we get tempted, you know, God blesses us a job, we go out, we work, and, you know, and then we tithe a minimum of 10%, and we give that back to God and all these different things and whatnot. But the question becomes is that, you know, is just the 10% belonging to God? If you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, it says, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Amen. So what God is really telling us is that even though we do give the tithe, and he does, and we do give that back, the question we have to remind us, the things we have to remind us is, does God really need our money? No, he doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our money. As a matter of fact, tithing is not about money. Our tithe is an expression of our obedience and faith in God. He doesn't need to know, because the thing is, everything we have, every piece of every all the money we make, our possessions, our time, even our own life, it all belongs to God. What does it say here in Scripture? It says, yours, Lord, is the greatest in power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. So everything we have and we are belongs to God. So if everything belongs to God, then that means the role we play with the stuff he gives us is not ownership, because he is own. Then it's stewardship. That God gives us stewardship over the things that he gives us. And so we need to remember that when we start giving, that we're not owners, we're merely stewards of the possession. And since we serve God, we look to him how for instructions on how to manage everything we have and everything we are. So remember, we're stewards. So a few final points. So lastly, why do we give? What are some reasons why we give? Well, number one, we know that the Bible says that it's more blessed, we're more blessed when we give than to receive. Apostle Paul says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. He says it's more blessed to give than receive. And so we know we're blessed that way. Amen. Another point is that when we give, it brings godly joy to our hearts. Amen. It brings godly joy to our hearts. to another example of this is that in 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking of the Macedonian church. He's speaking of them. He's talking about the severe trials that they're going through and the joy they're having. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, it says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty wells up in rich generosity. Oh, amen. Amen. That's a mouthful by itself. That's a mouthful by itself. Because what is Paul saying here? You know, basically, you have a church here that has extreme poverty. So that means they don't have a whole lot. But what has happened is because they took great joy, that joy was produced from their giving, okay, even in their poverty, it wells up a lot of generosity came from it. So they gave from what they had. They gave from what they had, and it brought joy, overflowing joy. It says, in the midst of a very severe trial, they were going through too. They were going through too. So a lot of times, you know, in our lives, you know, sometimes what we're going through every day can affect, how we, you know, are in the spirit and affect how we give sometimes. But Paul is saying right here, even though they were going through a severe trial, they had an overflowing joy that came from giving. And out of their extreme poverty, that welled up rich generosity. So it's not so much about praying about, well, God, if you give me a little bit more than I give. No, give from what you have and give through your trials, because through your trust, that's also going to help in having that joy in the Lord. Another point is a giving is an outflow of what is in our hearts. Amen. So when we give, that reflects a lot of what's in our hearts. Apostle Paul says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So in other words, if we don't sow giving, we don't get nothing. What you put in is what we get out. Amen. If we are stingy with all we have, which what we're doing is we're nursing a poverty spirit. We bring poverty down on ourselves. Did you know that? You know, when you have a stingy spirit, you're holding on, you know, grabbing on to what little you have. You know, you're actually pushing yourself to more poverty. You know, if we sow little, we gain little. And so, you know, to support that, it says in Proverbs 11 and 24, Proverbs chapter 11 and 24 says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Comes to poverty. See the contrast there? See, the more we give, the more of that seed comes back to us. Even though we're not given to receive, but that's just the way it works, because this is what the Bible tells us. But if we hold on to it, we hold on to the giving and say, well, maybe next time. Or, you know, well, maybe, you know, I got these bills, I got all these different things, so I ain't got money to give. But remember what Paul says about the Macedonian church. He says, not only were they going through things, but they had extreme poverty. But because they appreciate and they enjoy, they had a joy in giving, through all they went through, a great generosity came from that. Amen. So I want to make a few small points to close. You know, again, we talked about earlier, sometimes, you know, we can say, well, maybe, you know, I'll give some when I have more. You know, maybe God bless me with this extra thing, then I shall give. Well, we know this is not biblical. This is not biblical. You know, God expects us, a lot of times, he expects us to show him that we can give out of what he's already given to us. Because here's the thing. You know, when we want to do something, you know, we'll move, we'll do all sorts of things to make room to have extra money to do things. You know, if Steve Harvey coming into Houston for a show, oh, we'll move budgets around, maybe push a bill off the next month. We'll do all sorts of things. Go get our hair done. We'll do all these different things when it's something we really want to do. And see, what God is telling us a lot of times is it's not an issue of you having more, but give out of what you have, even if it means you go without because you're expressing the love of God to someone else. In other words, if you had a need, you would want someone else to give what they have, even if they might go without, because, again, it goes back to the law that sums up all the laws when it says love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So God a lot of times is expecting us to give from what we have. Don't say to ourselves, well, you know, maybe when I have more, then I will do it. Now, I know some people are thinking, well, Minister Price, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I got this stuff and I got these bills and this and that. And I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know about that. Well, again, God expects us to give from what we have. Because remember, we're not owners, but we're stewards. And let me explain it a better way. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, it tells the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Jesus tells a parable of a man, a master, who went on the journey, and he entrusted his wealth. And I'm just going to sum this up. I'm not going to read word for word. But he entrusted his wealth to his servants. Amen. So he gave them stewardship over what the master already owned. Now, most of them have taken what God had, what the master had given them, and they doubled what he had given them. They doubled it. Okay? And so when the master came back to have them give an account of what they had done with what he had given them, because he didn't come back and give them more in the middle. He gave them what they gave them, and he went away. When he came back, they were expected to have done more with what the master had given them. And when he came back and he started to speak to the servants to find out what they'd done, you had two of them that had doubled in the possessions that he had given them stewardship over. And he said, again, chapter 25, verse 21, it says, his response to them was, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Of many things. You see, there's a spiritual law that the Bible is calling for us right now, especially when it concerns giving. You see, like these servants, God has given us stewardship over. Now, some folks, based on how God has given to them according to their abilities, God has given them stewardship over more. So it's not about us comparing ourselves to someone else because they have more. You know, that's just the way. But he's given us stewardship over things based on our abilities and his will. Okay. And what he expects for us is to take what he's given us as stewards, not owners, as stewards, and make more from it. And what better way to make more from what he's given us than generosity? Because, see, what comes from giving is more than just a gift, whether it's money, your time. But through you, God can show his love to someone else, whether they be lost and a person that's not saved, or whether there be a person that is saved but that is struggling with things, but you're expressing God's love. And through his seed of love, his glory is multiplied. His kingdom is expanded by a simple gesture, a simple gift of giving. And so because the Bible says we all will have to give an account for what we've done in the body, here to earth, that is tied to our rewards in heaven. Amen. And so we need to remember that through our giving, it's also a way that God comes back and he looks at what he asks us, what have we done with what he's given? And what we all want to strive for, we're not perfect, we want to strive for, when that day comes, he can look upon us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because what he has already given us, we have made more of it. And here's the key. Here's the key. When we do multiply what God has given us by giving through others, then God comes back and he gives us more to be stewards over. What did he tell the servants? I will make you, I will give you stewardship over more nations. But when we have a poverty spirit and we don't want to give and we hold on to, and therefore we don't double and multiply what God has given us, my Bible tells us even what we have will be taken from us. And it goes back to Proverbs 11:24, that when we hold on to things unduly, that we bring poverty down ourselves. We as Christians are servants. We're servants of God. We've been created to glorify him by pouring out his will, that God can use us to pour out his will to others. And what greater way to do that is by giving. So through sowing greatly with giving, God's wealth, which is his glory, is overflowing in his love. And for he is love, is multiplied in the lives of others. And in return, he gives the most stewardship, as we already talked about. And one of the big reasons why God will come, you know, will give us more when he sees that we do more with what he gives us is because he realized as stewards, we will not hold on to what is rightfully already his. And so that's our message for today is on why do we give? And we give because we've been created as servants to give, and there are benefits of giving. And the great thing about giving is we are blessed when we give, because when we give, it's not just about giving to receive, but we're in a position where we're saying to God, it's not about me, but it's about someone else. And we could just close. Next week, we're gonna move from to this week. It's about why do we give, and next week we're going to talk about how do we give. How do we give? And we're just going to close this short portion in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word and giving. I just pray, dear Father, that you touch the hearts and minds of every believer today. Touch the hearts and the minds. Fill us with a spirit and a heart for generosity and giving. I pray, dear Father, that you help us, even through it, no matter what's going on in our lives, whether there is circumstances that's affecting, we feel it's affecting our giving, or there are trials or whatever those things may be going on. I just pray, that Father, that even during those trials, that you help us to focus on you, that we may stay in a position to be your servant and to give and pour out to others. I pray, that Father, that this season not only the body be blessed, but those that the body of Christ increase, Lord, that through the giving, Lord, that more than a loss, that will actually get called to the faith, Lord, in you, Jesus Christ. And I just pray, dear Father, if there are those out there right now that are struggling with giving, struggling with us, Lord, I pray, dear Father, that you answer their prayers and that you highlight to them in their own personal relationship, you have your own personal relationship with them, Lord, what is it that is going on in their life that may be hindering from opening up and receiving the spirit of giving from you to be generous to others. We pray this prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Dr. Honey, you there? Amen. Any questions? Any comments?
Amen. So God has blessed us once again with this young man. He's given us some words tonight to live by, and I think we need to take him in and feast on what he said out of the book of Luke, because God is the author and the finisher of all of our faith. Amen?
Amen.
And you know one thing? While I was on the phone, a Muslim called me, wanted to argue with me. I said, brother, I don't have time for that. I said, look, let me introduce you to my Savior, Jesus. No, let me tell you by mine. I said, he said, my Savior is Muhammad. I said, okay. I said, he ain't but flesh. I said, mine is better than flesh. Anyway, we're going to pray for him. We're going to believe God. And
yeah.
I think we got another apostle. Are you there?
I'm here. Dr. Hunter, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Go right ahead and take the gospel. It's in your hands. Go forward.
We're glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for another day. I tell you, God is a good God. Well, my topic for today, Dr. Hunter, and to all those who are listening around the world, is trusting in God. Trusting in God. It's so very important that we begin to trust in God more. Now, that word trust is batach in the Hebrew. It's batach, and it means to be confident. It means to be sure. God wants us to put our confidence in him. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. He wants so much for us to trust in him. Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verses 5 through 8. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Your heart is your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, your intellect. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Don't try to figure God out. His ways are much higher than our ways. Don't go on what we think. Go on what God says and what he wants us to do. Don't try to rationalize. Don't try to go on your own thinking. But we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. We need to trust in God. That's the word, trust in God. Trusting in God gives us the deliverance that we need. It gives us deliverance. Trusting in God gives us deliverance. And you know, one thing about it, Dr. Hunter, and those who are listening, we can trust in God. We can trust in the integrity of his word. He's not going to let us down. I mean, someone else might let you down. Their word might let you down. These gurus that's out there, their word might let you down. But we can trust in the integrity of God's word. That word integrity means honesty. It means incorruptibility. I mean, his word is incorruptible. It's not going to decay. Over 2,000 years, the same power that God's word had over 2,000 years ago, Dr. Hunter, his word has the same power today.
The same power today.
The scripture, for example, the scripture in Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead over 2,000 years ago, that same power is in God's word today. Good God Almighty. I tell you, the same power that was in his word when he said, let there be light, and there was light. Glory to God. That same power, the same power is in his word today. And I said all that to say this. We can trust in the integrity of God's word. You've got to know that his word is not going to let you down. His word, it won't let you down. His word will not let you down. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Thank God for that, man. We can count on God's word. I tell you, if everybody else, they turn their back on you, I tell you, as long as you have God's word, you can make it. You can make it. And his word is not going to let you down. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 8 says this, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's not going anywhere. Glory to God. His word is forever. It stands.
Forever.
power that it had over 2,000 years ago, that same power, Dr. Hunter, isn't that wonderful news? That same power is in his word today. The same power.
Yes.
First Kings chapter 8, verse 56 says this,
yes.
Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. That's us. According to all that he promised, there have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he
yes.
promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Not one word that he has promised us will fail. Not one. Not one word. That's good news. Not one. God's word says we're blessed in the city and we're blessed in the country. Well, that word is not going to fail. You believe that word is not going to fail. The same power that it had over 2,000 years ago, the same power exists today in his word. We can
yes.
trust in the integrity of God's word. His word is incorruptible. His word is sound. His word is whole. His word is incorruptible. That means it hasn't lost any power. There's no weaknesses, Dr. Hunter, no weaknesses, no flaws
no.
in God's word.
Amen.
Amen. There's no flaws in God's word. Hallelujah. Let's look
Hallelujah.
At Isaiah chapter 9. There's no flaws. I tell you, you can go get some counsel from some people, and there's going to be some flaws in their counsel. But when you go
yes.
get counsel from God, there's no flaws when you get counsel from God's word. There's no flaws in his word. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's a counselor, and that his counsel will not fail. You go and get some counsel from God. It will not fail. You need some counsel on your business? About your business, go get your counsel from God. Get your counsel from the word of God. His word has integrity. His word is incorruptible. His word will not fail you nor let you down. It doesn't rot. It doesn't rot. It doesn't decay. It hasn't rotten. Over 2,000 years, his word hasn't rotten, hasn't lost any power. And this is one of the reasons why we need to trust in God. We need to trust in God for our deliverance. We need to trust in God for our deliverance. I don't care how things look. It doesn't matter how things look. If you trust in God according to his word, Dr. Hunter, he's going to bring you out.
He's going to bring you out.
He's going to bring you out of your situation. He's going to bring you out of your trouble. But all he wants you to do is just trust in him. If you trust in him, we're talking about trusting God. There's power in trusting God. If you trust in him, he'll deliver you. He'll bring you out of your situation. To trust in God means to be confident in him. If you just put your confidence in God, he'll give you deliverance. He'll bring you out of any situation. Listen to what the scripture says in Psalm 22, verses 4 and 5. The scripture says, our fathers trusted in thee. Good God Almighty. We can go back to our fathers. Our fathers, talking about the God of Abraham, talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our fathers, our forefathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Good God Almighty. I tell you, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Your trust will cause God to deliver you. I don't care. It doesn't matter what the situation is. If you trust in God, he's going to deliver you. Why? Because he delivered our forefathers. when they trusted in him. And the scripture clearly lets us know that God is no respecter of persons. That means that if we do what our forefathers did, they trusted in God. If we do that and they got delivered, if we do that, we'll get delivered.
Amen.
Trusting in God gives us deliverance. Trusting in God also blesses us. God will bless you. What do I mean he will bless you? He'll make you happy. You'll be happy because God will bestow his favor upon you. That Hebrew word for is Asher. Asher. He'll bless you. He'll make you happy because he'll bestow his favor upon you when you trust in him. Look at Psalm 40 and verse 4. If you trust in him, he'll favor you. I don't know about you and those who are listening around the world. Dr. Hunter, I need his favor.
I
need God's favor. I tell you, isn't his favor is better than money, isn't it, Dr. Hunter?
It sure is. Yes, sir.
God's favor is better than his favor will bring you the money.
Yes.
His favor will open up doors for you. And I'll show you in this scripture that when you trust in God, he'll favor you. He'll favor you. He'll bless you. He'll cause you to be happy. That word bless that in this scripture is how happy you will be if you trust in God. Look at Psalm 40. Listen to verse 4. That's right. Verse 4, Psalm 40, verse 4 says, blessed, that means how happy. How happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust? You see, God will cause you to be happy. What will you be? Why will you be happy? Because God will favor you. He will favor you. He'll bestow favor upon your life when you trust in him. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Don't trust in those lying people. I tell you, there's some people that come on TV, call themselves motivational speakers and gurus and all that stuff. They're supposed to be so intelligent and know so much. I tell you, they're not going to make you happy. Their lies are not going to make you happy. Their lies are not going to bestow God's favor upon your life. No, you put your trust in the counsel of God, putting your trust in his word. God will bestow his favor upon you. We're talking about trusting in God. Trusting in God gives us deliverance. Trusting in God, God blesses us. He favors us. I tell you, trusting in God will give you peace. And I tell you, we need peace, don't we, Dr. Hunter?
All the time, my brother.
We need some peace because, you know, what in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So that means you will too. But you're going to have to put your trust in God. You're going to have to put trust and faith go hand in hand. You'll have peace of mind. God will give you peace. It's shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
He'll give you shalom when you trust in him. Shalom, and it means completeness. It means welfare. He'll take care of you. It means health. He'll take care of your health. He will make you complete and whole. You'll be able to go to sleep at night. Some of you might be having some trouble sleeping at night. If you just put your trust in God, he'll give you peace, and your peace will be sweet, I tell you. Look at Isaiah chapter 26. We all need peace. I remember when I was in the hospital, Dr. Hunter, a couple of years ago, and, you know, because the enemy attacked my heart. And so I had to go through a whole battery of tests. They were sticking needles in me, telling me to turn over on my side, turn over on my stomach, turn over on my back. I tell you, I was in the hospital, and I tell you, I was experiencing all types of stuff. But you know what? One thing I did, I stayed in the Word, and I kept my trust in God. And because I kept my trust in God, he gave me peace. He gave me peace. He let me know that, hey, everything's going to be all right. He gave me sweet peace. Look at Isaiah 26:3. He says in Isaiah 26:3, he says, he will keep him, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. You see, child of God, when you put your trust in God's word, God's not going to let you down. He'll give you peace. If you put your trust in his word, he'll give you peace, perfect peace. Not the false peace that this world give you or your money give you or your things give you. You know what things, isn't that right, Dr. Hunter? Things can give you a false sense of peace.
Right.
It's just like burglar bars. I've heard of people getting burglar bars put on their house. Not saying that's a bad thing now, but that's not perfect peace, because I've heard of people burning up in their houses with those burglar bars.
I like what you said, brother.
I've seen people, they close themselves up in the burglar bars, close themselves, lock themselves in their house at night and still can't go to sleep. But when you trust in God, when you put your trust in his word, which is incorruptible, he'll give you perfect peace.
Yes.
He gives rest to his children, one scripture says.
Yes.
He gives rest to his children. He'll give you shalom, completeness, welfare, health. Your mind will be healthy. Number four. When you put your trust in God, he'll give you strength. He'll strengthen you. I tell you, he'll give you the strength so you can go on. He'll give you the strength that will cause you to last. You know what? You can go on. You can go for, he'll keep you going for the long haul. You know what I'm talking about, Dr. Hunter?
Yes.
He'll strengthen you for the long haul. Because, I know in this world it gets hard sometimes. But you got to trust in God. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, the scripture says, whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, the trouble in this world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. You know what? We overcome. We don't lay down and curl up in a closet and you know what, cry and go into a state of depression and give up on life. No. We trust in God and we overcome. We overcome. Trusting in God will give you strength. He'll give you the strength, man. I tell you, you'll overcome. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. Don't have your trust in him. He'll give you strength. Look at Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence. That's trust. In confidence shall be your strength. You see, your strength is in your confidence in God. He'll strengthen you. Isn't that wonderful news?
Yes, Lord.
He'll strengthen you when you place your trust in him, your confidence in him. God will strengthen you. I know it gets hard sometimes. I mean, even in ministry, it gets hard sometimes, don't it?
Yes, Lord.
It seems like the more you try to obey God and carry out your purpose, the more hell come against you. Even people in the church will begin to open up their mouths against you, and all you're trying to do is carry out your assignment.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
But I tell you, and you need strength to go on, because you say, man, what's the use, man? I'm trying to do right, and everybody else is coming against me and fighting. I tell you, you continue to go on and place your trust in God. He'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you for the long haul. I mean, good God Almighty, we're just now getting started. Don't die now. Don't die now. God will strengthen you. Don't die now. You're too young to die. In Genesis 6:3, God says man's day shall be 120 years.
Praise God.
Have some courage. Gird up your loins and let's start living to be 120 years, trusting in God and letting him strengthen us. I tell you, we're just now getting started. We got some work to do. And it takes strength to change the mind. We got to change our mindset. I know it's a lot we got to do. We got to confess the word. We got to pray. You know what? We got to do all these things when hell is coming all against us. I know Satan has an APB out for some of us.
Yes,
I mean, we're on his hit list. He's trying to shut your mouth. But I tell you, you just go ahead on and continue to trust in God, and I tell you, he'll strengthen you. Have you ever dozed off before, and you only dozed off for a couple of minutes, but it felt like you had been asleep for an hour? That was God. That was God. He came and strengthened you. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 30 days and 30 nights?
Yes, amen.
And afterwards, he was hungry, and he was tired. Isn't that right? But the Bible said that he sent the angels came and ministered to him.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
The angels are our ministering spirits. They come and minister to the saints.
Yes, Lord.
You just continue to trust in God. If God have to, he'll send an angel to come and minister strength to you.
Hallelujah.
But we've got to continue to trust in God.
Yes.
Have confidence in God. You can be sure that his word is not going to let you down. The Bible says that he's not a man that he should lie. He's not lying. God's going to do exactly what he told you he's going to do.
Yes, Lord.
You keep trusting in God. Trusting in God gives you deliverance. He'll deliver you. Trusting in God, God will bless you. He'll favor you. Trusting in God, he'll give you peace. He'll give you shalom. He'll give you completeness and welfare and health. He'll give you shalom. Trusting in God also will give you hope. I tell you, you've got to hold on to your hope. You've got to hold on to your hope. What is hope? Hope is an expectation that God's going to do something good for you. Glory to God. Hope, that's what hope is. Hope is an expectation that God's going to do something good for you. That's hope.
Yes.
And trusting in God will give you hope. And we need hope. I remember years ago, boy, it's one of the greatest speeches ever, and I got to hear this speech. Reverend Jesse Jackson. Y'all remember Reverend Jesse Jackson?
I remember him.
Yeah, he was at the, man, he said a mouthful. He was at the National Convention, and one of the things that he said, he told the people, he said, keep hope alive. And you know what?
Keep
He's right
alive.
About that. He's right about that. I tell you, we need to keep hope alive. Oh, glory to God. Keep hope alive. I know the doctors don't mean any harm. They're trying their best. But when they give you a negative report, man, you've got to keep hope alive. You've got to trust in God. I tell you, that's what I liked about Job. Man, Job had sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Man, he was in pain, scraping his sores with broken pieces of glass, pieces of pottery. But that brother kept hope alive. He kept hope alive. He kept trusting in God. He trusted in God, and God brought him up out of that situation and gave him twice as much at the end. I remember Joseph. Joseph, God gave him a dream, Joseph a dream of being being elevated, really high and in charge. God gave him a dream, and it took a few years before that dream came to pass. In between, that in between time was hell. His brothers hated him. His folks didn't quite understand him. His brothers threw him in a pit. He was sold over into slavery to the Ishmaelites. Then he was placed. He was a servant in Potiphar's house. Got accused of a rape that he didn't commit. But I would always read, and the Lord was with Joseph. You know why the Lord was with Joseph? Because Joseph was with the Lord. He still trusted in God, going through all that mess, for being falsely accused. And I tell you, when his time came, God raised him up and made him prime minister of Egypt, put him in second command over all of Egypt. And he wasn't even an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. That man kept his trust in God. And that's what we got to do. Trust in God. Everything's going to be all right. Trust in God. Trusting in God will keep your hope. Your hope. Trusting in God gives you hope. You don't want to lose your hope. Look at Psalms chapter 71. Psalms chapter 71. We've got to trust in God. Trust in God. That's the best thing to do. Trust in God. When you can't trace them, trust them. Sometimes it feels like, man, I can't feel him. You don't even feel him all the time, but he's there. Trust that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's still with you. Sometimes it seems like you're praying and he don't hear you. He don't hear you.
Yeah.
He hear you. He hear you as long as you're praying according to the will of God. He hear you. And the Bible says that you're going to get your request, too. Over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, you're going to get your request. He hear you. Don't lose it. Don't lose your hope because you can't feel them. You can't trace them. Trust them. Trust them. Look at Psalm 71 and verse 5. It says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Look at that. He trusts in God. He looked for God to help him. That sounds good, but I wasn't read the wrong scripture. Look at Psalm 71, verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. You see, when you trust in God, he'll give you hope. He'll give you hope. He'll give you hope, and you want to keep your hope. You want to have a great expectation that, hey, you know what? God's getting ready to do something good for me today. God's getting ready to elevate me. He's getting ready to make some great changes in my life. Or God's getting ready to bring me up out of this. That's hope. That's hope. We need to, God is a good God, and we need to hope that he's getting ready to do something good in our life, trusting in God. He'll give you strength. He'll deliver you. He'll make you happy. He'll bless you. He'll bestow his favor upon you. He'll give you peace. He'll give you shalom. He'll give you hope. And I just like to encourage all those who are listening all around the world, trust in God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to let you down. He's going to provide for you and guide you and protect you. I like David. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. That brother trusted in him. He trusted in. I love David, man. I love him. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's trusting God. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Look here. This is trust. He says, surely, not maybe. He says, surely, not. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who wouldn't trust in a God like that? Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Those are the confessions that you make. You make confessions like that because you trust in God. I love you, and I thank God for this time. Dr. Hunter?
Yes. Amen. I thank God for the word you said tonight, and we believe in God to continue. At this particular time of the radio station, we have a live open line. Anybody got something they want to discuss? Let's talk about it. Whatever's on your heart, let's do it. The lines are open.
Dr. Hunter?
Yay, how you doing?
All right. This is Dr. Sheila Blaylock, and I'm so glad to hear the man of God speaking. I heard him speak last night. A lot of things that he spoke, especially on affliction, and what he's speaking on today, even the bishop that was on last night, it was a lot of confirmation that God had spoken and given pertaining to what's going on with me in my life, which he says elevation and giving you hope. And I just want to continue that God continue to use the man of God to bring forth the word of God as well.
Amen.
Also, the spirit of infirmity also is one of the things that I had to face pertaining to my mom. It's just a testimony, but it was also lining up with the word of God, the hope. If you're waiting on something, don't give up. I was agreeing with my mother. She's 79. And we had, during the summer, we were praying, and I anointed her house, and I was praying, and she was going through a lot with her body. And all of a sudden, God, in August, he says the spirit of infirmity, and it's a spirit. And I began to pray, and one night the Lord showed me it hadn't left. I said, oh, God, he says it's a stubborn spirit. This spirit comes with fasting and prayer. And so the Lord put me on a 40-day fast. And after the 40-day fast, 3 weeks ago, my mother went into a heart attack. And it took them 40 minutes to revive her back. And I want you to know the doctors, they were amazed because they brought her back, raised her from the dead twice.
Glory.
And it came from that fast. And one of the doctors, he even waved his hand over my mother's body, the heart doctor. He said, I don't know what kind of spirit that was here, but it's gone. Even the doctor said it.
Glory to God.
And I just want y'all to know what you said, Brother Dr. Newton, the hope and the faith that we have in God through his word. It's the word of God that's going to set God's people free, even in healing. A miracle was performed. Those that wasn't saved in the family, they seeking God now. I mean, 40. God put me on a 40-day fast, and they brought her back in 40 minutes. Took them 40 minutes to bring her back. And I knew God was in the midst. And when you said yesterday your latter days will be better than your first days,
that's right.
And I told my mother, I said, God, she's 79. I said, he ain't through. You need to sit here. I just spoke to her today in her right mind. Everything is functioning. And I told her, I said, you need to find out what God wants you to do. And she looked at me real strange. I said, at 79, he still ain't through with you.
That's right.
No.
Amen. That's right.
This is her latter days. It's getting ready to be better.
That's right.
Everything that was hurting her, every sickness is gone. There's no feeling bad no more. But I tell you, I saw that spirit of infirmity. It'll try to kill you as it leaves. It comes to kill you. I saw that spirit when he was raising up out of her. I said, oh, my God, he don't want to let go. And when he let her go, she was back into her. She don't even know what happened, Dr. Newton.
Amen.
Don't even know.
That's right. See, that devil, he cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But just because he come, that don't mean we have to accept him and let him in.
That's right. That's right.
You know, even just because he's knocking at the door, all you got to do is don't open it.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't open it. Choose life.
And God moved, Dr. Newton, because in during the battle, as we were war and praying and I was seeking God, I was telling her to pray the word back. We were fighting, pray the word, and this is where God stepped in. He delivered her.
Ooh, his word is incorruptible. That is awesome. His word, will his word let you down?
No, it don't.
It won't let you down.
No, it will not.
And I know now my lifespan is not to be no 70 or 80 years old. I know the truth now.
Yes.
I know the truth.
Yes.
I know the truth. And we need to let everyone else know the truth. Hey, wait a minute. We're not 120 yet. We don't have to die.
That's right. Yes. Yes,
God,
Lord.
God says our days shall be 120 years.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
That's the lifespan of a man.
Yes.
I'm not one of those disobedient, rebellious people that are in the wilderness. Those people
yes.
would die at 70 and 80. That ain't
yes.
nothing to do with me.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So
yes.
we just in this word.
Thank you, Jesus. That's
thank
nobody
you. Thank
79
you, Jesus.
Years old. And the Lord, every minister that came in, he said, God has work for you. God, they prophesied and told her, he has work for you. And I told her, I said, now today you need to get in the word again. Talk to the Lord while you're sitting here and ask him, God, what at 79, Lord, what is it that I need to be doing now? Because you kept me here. He raised her from the dead.
That's right. I tell you, at 79, in reality and in God's eyes, and it should be in the saints' eyes, we're middle age.
Yes.
At 79. And
yes.
Late. I mean, now we can go on to 120.
Yes, amen. Because 79, I'm seeing 79 people run and jog, and she's very active, and she moved. And right now they are amazed. All the doctors came. They had to come and see this miracle woman, you know, that coded twice, died one night and died the next morning. And
that
then the chaplain came and talked. He said, y'all may all need to go and say y'all last words. And I said, what last words? It ain't no last words here.
See, that testimony, sister, you gave is so awesome. See, it's not that we're going to have a fight.
Yes,
but
it was
because
a
you
fight.
Have a fight don't mean that you have to lay down.
Amen. It was a fight.
Die.
That spirit of infirmity is a stubborn spirit. It's stubborn. It don't want to let you have to fast. God said his spirit. And I didn't know he was getting ready to put me on a 40-day fast. He said, you got to go on a 40-day fast.
But
I came off that 40-day fast, it was on.
God's given us power over all the power of the devil.
Yes.
Amen.
And then the bishop, the blessing that God spoke to me through the bishop last night, when he said, what is it that you need? He said, somebody before this year is over going to get a house, going to get a car. And I knew he was speaking to me because I couldn't say nothing. Because that Saturday, the Lord had spoke to me. He said, now, that was her miracle. What is it that you want from me?
Glory to God.
He said,
amen.
What is it that you? He said, now, that was her miracle. What is it that you want from me? And the
hang
last person
word.
I heard him speak that to was Samson, was Solomon. He asked him that question.
What do you want?
What do you want?
I couldn't say nothing. I say, Lord, just manifestation of everything you've already told me. and then the question was when? And then the bishop told me, before this year is over. Ooh, hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Amen. Rhema.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I just wanted to know when. And the bishop said, before this year is over.
Glory to
thank
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Amen.
Now,
glory
the year ain't
God.
Over, but what, three? We got three or four more weeks, right?
Something like that.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God.
Another miracle. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just had to get that testimony because I bear witness to the spirit of infirmity. That thing
amen.
There, oh, my God, and affliction. But it didn't. The infirmity didn't come from the affliction like you said last night.
Listen,
beloved, made that plain.
I want to play this. I want to play this for you, Sheila. I want to play this for you. Listen.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm trying to pray.
Hey!
Yes, Lord.
Hey!
I'm all church now.
I'm all church now.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I can't say what led to the truth is I'm
true. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
No tears to cry.
No tears to cry.
Yes, Lord.
Even if I tried.
But still my
soul.
Yes, Lord.
You
died.
Yes.
Wonder who will change.
Wonder.
Yes, Lord.
A new heart, a new house.
To the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces.
Yes,
it's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. To gaze upon your glory. And
yes,
safely to come.
Hey, hey.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Stop
playing these games.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, my words. Yes, God's word.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
right.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yeah, we can't pray. We're chasing after you.
Yes,
I know no religion. I made my decision.
Yes.
You, the healer that I need. Maybe to the King.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Glory.
God, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Leave it there. To gaze upon your glory.
Yes. Glory to God.
My God, my God.
He's awesome. Glory to God.
To the King. Take me there.
Yes.
Go ahead and come and take me there.
Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God.
Glory
Ooh,
to God.
He's a good God. He's a good God, Doctor.
Yes.
Woo!
Leave it there. I figured we could have a little church right quick, y'all.
Amen.
Yes,
glory
Lord,
to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
I always said, just take me to the King. You can handcuff me, you can tie me down, but you ain't tie me. I'm going to the King.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. Thank
glory
you,
to
Lord.
God.
Thank you, Lord. So I just want Dr. Newton to know, and thank you, Dr. Hanna, for letting me share this. But Dr. Newton, everything, you own it. You are on it. The world needs to hear that. The word is
glory.
What they need. The demons are not going
to
move but by God's word. Nothing
right.
is not going to happen unless it's through the word of God.
That's right. That's right.
You have to know that word. Oh, my God.
But, if you
God.
Don't know the word, you don't know the Lord.
My Lord. Yes,
it's
Lord.
It's incorruptible. Got to know him.
You have to. Yes,
it won't lose any power.
That's it. No power.
It can't. It hasn't. In over 2,000 years, it hasn't lost any power.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
His word is incorruptible.
Yes, it is.
No flaws, no weaknesses.
Incorruptible. Yes, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Woo, hallelujah.
Yes, thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
That's why people got to put that seed of the word, put it in you. It's incorruptible.
Yes.
It's going to spring up.
Yes,
put it
Lord.
In you.
Yes.
Put that man's days shall be 120 years, Genesis 6:3. Put it in you.
Yes,
put it
God.
In you.
Yes,
put
Lord.
Put in Isaiah 53:5. Put it in you that with
yes.
his stripes we are healed.
Healed.
Put it in you. It's
yes, it got to be in
seed.
Yes.
It's going to come forth.
Yes, thank
it's
you,
It's
going to
bloom in you.
Mm.
Amen. That's the only thing that's keeping me alive right now.
Yes.
It's the word.
It's the word of God.
I trust in his word.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Well, all I can say to you, we're still trusting in God. When I
still
look at Proverbs, when I look at Isaiah 55:5, Isaiah 40:10, Isaiah 9:6, Psalm 22, all I can do is trust in the God.
That's
I will
it.
Lean not to my own understanding.
Own understanding.
Because where I'll be and nobody but God has brought me thus far. Nobody
That's
but
it.
God.
Nobody
but I'll God.
A hook foot, a slew foot, or whatever. Ain't nobody like God. And
That's
I just
right.
nobody.
Nobody.
Hallelujah.
Nobody.
Mm.
Amen.
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 Nobody.
Nobody.
See,
Thank
we
you,
got
Jesus.
To keep moving. Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Thank
That's
you, right,
Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
See, I always
Thank
say this. I always say the devil, you in trouble because you didn't let me find out you have no more power over me.
Amen.
Dr.
Amen.
Newton, one morning I woke up and God said, the devil been, he has a problem with you every time you get up in the morning. It just
yeah.
makes him mad that you get up.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
When you wake up in the morning... He knows he's going to be in trouble.
yeah, he knows he's going to get his head whipped.
he knows.
He knows.
He's in trouble just by you. He hates to see you wake up in the morning. I'm just going to put it like that. He hates to see you wake up.
Oh, glory to God.
When he was alive, he said, the demon said, well, we want to go by his house. And Jesus, John Osteen said, wait a minute, little ones. He said, you really want to go by his house? He said, you ever want to go by his house? We want to mess with him. He said, no. He said, I'm the chief hellraiser. He said, when I was there, he said, they would be crazy. And if you go in there, you have to get back out of there.
You don't stand a chance.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes, Lord, I was trying to linger on whether to get up and God say the devil been up here talking about you, and he hates to see you get up. Boy, I jumped up out of that bed. When it's
mm-hmm.
just about the idea, he hates seeing me get up because I know it's some work to be done.
Yes. The fact that you're still alive says that God is not through with you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like one man said, you ain't dead, did he? He said, no, I ain't got no praise for me. I'm still alive.
Oh, glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
We got a long way to go, don't we, Dr. Hunt? We got a long way to go, Dr.
Amen.
Baylight, right?
That's right. We have a long
way
to go.
We got a long way to go.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes, we do. Long ways. A lot of correction, a lot of things that God is going to use as far in this hour, correct and root up. It's a lot of things, but we can do it. Especially
Absolutely.
When you've been chosen to do it, you can do it.
Amen. Amen.
God still loves us more than we think that. See, the enemy has said in his own way, see, the old days that were, the devil say, well, you can't do this today. I said, who said I can't?
Yeah.
You can do all things to him.
That's right.
That's right.
See, the enemy, like I say, he tries to talk back to you, but you got to put your you got to put your stones on and muff them out.
The word of God. When he mess with your mind, you got to have that word. You know, you have to have the word. If you don't have the word, a lot of people he binds them, especially if they ain't got no word, because they start agreeing with him. But if you got that word, you ain't got to. That's where that binding come. If you agree with him, he bind you. Okay, he got you. But if you get that word back to him, he can't bind you.
He can't stand that.
Mm-mm. Can you imagine when Jesus was walking the earth realm and he was led up into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit? Now here the Holy Spirit led him. The Holy Spirit led him.
Right.
The Holy Spirit led him.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted.
Yeah.
To show him what destination was. And I love what he said. He said in his latter words, he said, every word that proceeds come from God.
Mm.
Every word comes out of God's mouth.
Yes.
And there is no death in God's word. And don't you believe the devil else said? See, he knows his time is shut. His time is S-H-O-R-T. But all we have to do, my beloved, we need to keep praying, keep believing God. Getting good messages like this, and God is moving us to the next level. And I guess as we continue on, because what God has for us, eyes not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the hearts to those that believe who love my name.
Yes, Lord.
See, when you love his name, as you said earlier, Doctor, when you have trusting in God's word, I'm not going to trust in a mule. Mule can't take me up the mountain. Mule just can barely get up. It's a steep mountain. I got to speak to that mountain. Mountain, be moved. Circumstance, condition, move. And the more we get into the love factor, I always say it like this. See, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you start dancing, you start, folks say you're crazy. Somebody say I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But Dr. New, you encourage me. I know how to, when you teach, I know how to present my teaching and continue to stay on the word of God and continue to show what's in the word, even as my conversation. You know, you talk in the word. Everything is the word of God, the word of God, and that's how people are going to be delivered and set free by his word. It's not going to be we don't have to do no trinkets and no, just the word of God is what's going
to
set them free.
Oh, glory
to
God.
Extra. You don't have to do the extra stuff, or, you know, to con people to come to God, to Christ. It's just the word of God that's just going to draw them.
Glory to God. Amen.
His love is what draws. We don't have to do no extra stuff.
That's
right. And the reason for the extra stuff is because of the flesh is doing that.
Oh, come on now.
The flesh is doing that. All you want the glory. No, it's God's glory. He heard the prayer. You got to know he heard your prayer. Then when you minister to people, you got to know that the word went forth. And he had the timing for you to have them in your presence to give them the word of God. But you don't stop. You continue to go on and minister to the people the word of God. You
can't twist it.
You can't dress it up. You can't put no ice cream. And you just got to present it just like it is. And that's exactly what you do. You don't sugar it. You just give it the way God gave it to you according to scripture, what he has written, and that's what's going to set people free.
Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I encourage you. Glory to God.
That's what you're doing. You're setting the people, those that are in chains, that come off the slave ship, that go to church with chains on them, you're setting them free through the word of God.
Oh, glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That's what the church needs to say. But you know, one of the things I say, beloved, why is it that all of a sudden we get to the point where we try to get people, the apostle said, that people will come to church and start messing with your assignment. And
that's
they
right.
try to get away
that's
with it, too.
I know.
You don't need to be doing that. We didn't
you just got to know that God told you to do it. That see, you got to know that you know that you know that God spoke to your spirit to do what you're
yeah.
doing.
That's right.
You can't. You have to know He told you to do that. You have to know His voice. You have to have a relationship and know you're not operating out of
yeah.
yourself, but God, the Holy Spirit, is leading you.
That's
to
right.
do what you're supposed to do. And so
that's
you will stay on your assignment. Then you respect God. I got many whippings, you know, like a child cleaning up your yard and then the next door neighbor come get you, come help me, and you left your pile of leaves in your yard and you ain't cleaned up. So you just look for your whipping when you go back to the house because you didn't clean your yard up. How you going to go clean up and you got assignment from your mom and dad to do something here and you go run and help them and your work is undone? Because guess what? I guarantee you many times when I did that, my next door neighbor did not come and help me. But I got the whooping. I didn't help clean their yard up. And I'm over there and my parents looking at me like, well, didn't my, especially my dad, didn't I tell you? And they came, can you come help me do this here? And I left my work undone going over there, and he's standing there looking at me, waiting with a belt in his hand.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So I learned that real quick to stay on course.
Amen. Amen.
Whether you understand it or not, I'm on course.
That's it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. You
amen,
know,
amen.
Today, it was a great day for our God and our lives, and God has given us another opportunity this time of the evening to continue to give Him the praise and the glory. And so I just say this, that the more we say we love you, Father, the more the enemy gets upset at us.
Yes.
But it's like a man said, I'm going to love you, sister and brother. Ain't nothing nobody can do about it.
That's
amen.
It.
Amen.
That's it. Amen.
Thank you.
Nothing, ain't nothing they can do about it.
Well, no.
Say, oh, he, yes, he does. Go right ahead. See, you, we just got to say the devil, he's nothing but a big liar. Big
That's
time.
All he is.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
The Bible tells you and I he was a liar from the beginning. He brought sin, and he is the author and the creator of what sin, according to his creation ability. But we have to know that we know that we know what the word says. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will look
yes.
up to the hill from whence comes my help. My help doesn't come from the church, out of board. My help doesn't come from a new job or this place. My help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's it. That's
Amen.
It.
And I'm here to tell you, beloved, the position that I've been in, I ain't got nothing but to trust God.
Ooh, me too.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Couldn't walk, couldn't talk.
Come on now.
And so people say, well, who is he? One woman came down, didn't even know I lived, and she said, Willie, honey, he's supposed to be dead. I said, but he ain't.
Man.
He's looking at me right in the face.
Woo! Hallelujah.
See, because I know, the enemy's going to fight you. He, that's his right. He ain't nothing but an old thug.
Yeah.
He ain't nothing but a thug. He'll do all he can to get you. But it's
Amen.
Up to you to stay on course. Amen. It's up to you to stay
Amen.
On course.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And I say this. The more we stay on course, the more we can say that this radio station belongs to God, and God's going to make it so we can just do what needs to be done.
Amen.
I'm not
Amen.
Scared. And I always said to anybody, if you're scared, you're on the wrong team. You can't
oh,
be like, have mercy. you can't be like the Texans.
Dr. Honey, you sound like David just then, talking to Goliath. Dr. Honey, you just sounded like David telling Goliath, I'm going to take your head off.
I'm going to take his head off. And you know, I like what you said, what God said, and you said, God said, I'm going to beat it down. I looked at him, you know what, God said, going to beat my enemy down. Beat it down, Lord.
Beat him down. Oh, glory to God.
A lot of folks think that's a word from the street. No, the Bible says that God ain't going to beat your enemy down.
The Bible.
Beat him
that's
down,
right.
Lord. Whoop him good. Whoop him good, Lord. Whoop him good. Amen. See, I know what God's going to do. It's up to us and them. Us and them. Now, who is us and them? Them who love the Lord and those who walk by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know what I love about God? He loves us.
He does.
And the more I come to say, Father, here I am right now. And God says, okay, okay, what you need? See, God wants us to say, he wants us to come in and say, look, Lord, this is what we need. What do you need from God? God said, I got it all. I mean, when you look at it all, the jobs that people got, but you know, God has the prophet to go to the woman and say, you got any bread? No, ain't got none. Give me what you got. Well, this man got to be crazy. Ain't nobody bring my talent. And he said, believe me. And that's what we got to say as a men, women of God. Believe me. And watch God do a miracle. And look what he did.
Amen.
He took all he had. He gave it. He said, go get every bucket you can. And as all he said this, as long as she kept the faith, get the bucket, the oil never stopped.
Amen.
The oil never stopped.
Amen. Amen.
It never stopped. Because the more we have in God, through God, by God, God is available for us. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Tomorrow we're going to be on it from 12 to 1. We're going to be doing we're going to a new level of doing what God wants for us to do. And I can say this to you that are listening and those who desire. We're going to have a show tomorrow. We have for 3 straight hours, but we're going to be able to take it to another level. We're going to start praying. Reading the word, praying the word, ain't going to give you words that are out of the Bible. So we can get blessed because I don't have no hurt. But I'm going to be like I said in that song, take me to the King.
Amen.
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 See, and you're a mistake because you take me to the King and made a mistake. And I can say this just tonight. God has blessed us. See, that's what God does. We know had a good time, haven't we?
Amen.
Amen.
And Dr. Hanna,
yes.
I just want to say one thing. On Friday night at 8 o'clock, we're going to be on the air again at 8. Our future choir is the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and we're going to be teaching on worship, praise and worship.
Glory.
And the choir that we're going to be having music from will be the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And I would like those that are listening to join us at 8 o'clock for 3 hours. It's praise and worship. And we're going to be speaking on worship, praise and worship, along with the
Amen.
Music from the the reason for Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, I asked God for what do we do? How do I do this? And he said, I want you to use one of my choirs. And I said, one of your choirs? And he said, use one of my choirs, angelic choirs. And never heard of Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir until this week. And when I began to listen, I said, oh, I see why that's one of your choirs. So he said, use Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. during the session that we're talking about praise and worship, and we'll be playing music from that from their music CDs, and we'll be playing every speaker will be talking about worship and praise, and I think it's going to be a blessing to those that are listening.
Amen.
On Friday.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Brooklyn, B-R-O-C-K, what?
Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
No, spell it, B-R-O-C.
Oh, B-R-O-O-K-L-Y-N, Brooklyn.
B-R-O-O-K-L-Y-N,
Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
Brooklyn? Spell Tabernacle, P-E-
T-A-B, Dr. Hunter, we're going to talk. I'm going to let you announce it again tomorrow. we're going to talk after the... Okay, it's T-A-B.
I got it.
Okay, choir. Yes, okay, well, we'll do it. We're going to be doing teaching on praise and worship. And Dr. Newton, if you're available Friday night, it would be good if you join us at 8 o'clock here on this radio station.
I appreciate the invitation. If I'm not busy or doing anything, I sure will call in.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Amen. It's good to be about our Father's business.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Yes, it is. It's always. Amen. And you know, one of the things I have so much of this. See, I love what God has used this new technology. Why are we talking? I done pulled it up already. And I would have pulled it up.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, in 10 seconds, here it is.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed. It's a blessing.
Amen.
Yes.
keep up the wonderful work.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Yes.
It's not in vain. No.
Amen.
In other words, I researched that, and in other words, God said it's not in vain. I'm going to pay you.
Ooh, hallelujah! Thank you.
I'm going to pay you.
Ooh, my. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes.
And that's why over in that scripture he said, and I want you to abound in works. Don't cut back. I'm going to pay you.
Yeah. Ooh, hallelujah.
Ooh, glory to God.
Not in vain. Ooh, my God.
That's why I was talking to Dr. Hunt, remember we were talking earlier, you know, where they were talking about, you know, what Brother Paul Crouch, that man worked hard for the Lord, talking about his 13 mansions and all that. Well, God gave him the desires of his heart. He labored.
Yes.
He labored.
See, but as we were saying, there are a lot of people who are ignorant. Amen.
That man worked harder than any of these secular CEOs.
He sure did. I mean, the raise of what God has done for him. We don't know what God redeemed. God has done a great, great work through him. And He left his work to see.
Yeah.
And I love what Jesus said. He said, never before has there been a man as a prophet like John. Never
glory to God.
And I begin to think about that, And then I look at what God has said. He said, Moses stood face to face.
Yes.
Now, face to face with God. Can we imagine what joy, what good company we in? Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
To get some of that understanding. And the Bible says he spoke to him face to face.
Face to face. Good God Almighty.
The more that we, can you imagine, you see the mirror to mirror. To speak to the living God.
Yes.
Oh,
hey.
And to have the authority that God gave him, he said, well, okay, God, he says, if you're going to kill him, he's just going to take my name out. I mean, who? Ain't none of us in that room can say what Moses said. Moses said, well, just
wow.
Take my name out of the book.
That's what he said.
Said okay, I'm scratching my head. He said, he said, all right, I won't take it out. I want you to go there and chastise them children.
He was dedicated.
Yes, he was.
He was dedicated. And
yes.
You all are dedicated. And you know what? Keep being that dedication, I tell you, it's awesome. When you remain dedicated under any circumstances,
yes, Lord.
God's going to promote you.
Ooh, hallelujah.
God's going to promote you. You stay dedicated under any circumstance, no matter what the circumstances are that's going on in your life. If you remain dedicated, God's going to promote you.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes, yes, Lord. And that's the best promotion.
He's going to promote you if you stay dedicated under any circumstance.
Yes, Lord.
He's going to promote you.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you look at the Bible, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, they stayed dedicated, even though they were threatened to be thrown in the fiery furnace, and then they got thrown into the fiery furnace, but when they came out, man, the king promoted them.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
The king promoted. Stay dedicated under any circumstance.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
When I first started the church, Dr. Hunter, June the 21st would be 16 years.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I
remember in the beginning of the church, I remember one time going in, and my wife was having one of our children at that time, so she was away, and all my children that were born, they were away, and I went on and had a service, and no one came. And with tears coming out of my eyes, I stood up there. I didn't lock up. I went on and had the whole service, and I talked to the chairs. It was just me and God there. But I tell you, I'm not teaching and preaching and pastoring any empty chairs now. He promoted. He's just looking for us to be dedicated.
Dedicated. Yes, Lord.
Under any circumstance.
Thank you, Jesus. My God.
Under any circumstance, just remain dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
And God will promote you.
Yes, He will. Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Oh, glory to God.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I would like to say to my brothers that you all be blessed in the Lord. And I will be, like I said, we'll be on the air again. I know the praise and worship will be on Friday at 8 o'clock.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen.
And I'll be just praying that the listeners will be attentive to it. And I know it will be a blessing to them. They will be totally blessed from it.
Amen.
I don't know what God is getting ready to do in this hour. But that's what he said, do a praise and worship for 3 hours. And our future in choir will be the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And the speakers, everyone will be speaking on praise and worship and how important it is in this season. Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes, Lord, it's important to be.
It's very important.
Yes, it is. It is very important.
Amen. Yeah. And you know what God is doing for us tonight? He won't let us off the air. And I want to tell everybody that's listening to us, what God has blessed us with, the magnificent. God has allowed us to have a radio station. I got the TV. I got the web. I got the YouTube, Ustream. I want to present the best gospel of Jesus Christ than ever can. Anybody
hear
that stuff?
Amen.
So we
and it's going to be done like Dr. Newton said, it will be done through his word.
Amen.
Through his word.
It's going to be through God's word. No gimmicks, no tricks, no nothing. Just through the word of God.
Absolutely.
Amen. We got a person that came on the line with us. Say a word to a sister. Are you there?
This is the prophet.
Hey, how you doing? Where you been, man? Where you been?
All is well.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Give us the word. We've been waiting for you since 8:30, but go ahead and say a word to us, Bishop.
Amen. Glory be to God. We have a powerful God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In these last days, God is calling us to intercede. God is calling us to pray. And God has an answer to every human problem. Father, we thank you. You are a God that answers prayers. I pray that you touch your children, strengthen them, empower them. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength this holiday season. I pray for divine protection. I pray, Lord, that you guide and protect your people. I pray for those that are sick in their body, for your divine healing. Those that are going through challenges, that, Lord, you are able to meet them at the point of need. We pray for our nation. We pray for families. We pray that your peace will reign. In the name of Jesus Christ, supply our every need.
Yes,
according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory
amen.
Be to God.
Amen.
Yes, Dr. Hunter, I have a few words to share. A word of encouragement. A word of encouragement. In these last days, people are faced with various challenges, with various issues, but God said, I am able. In the scriptures, in Second Chronicles, I'm going to take my lesson and teaching and word of encouragement from Second Chronicles chapter 20. From verse 1 to 25. There we see a man that was faced with an issue, a very challenging issue. The people of Moab and Seir, three nations, came against Jehoshaphat, the people of Judah. The Bible says a report came to Jehoshaphat to tell him there's some armies coming against him to steal and to take out everything he has. And many times, we are faced with various challenges in our life. The enemy comes to attack. You say he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my lesson today is to let you know that no matter what you are facing in your life today, God is able. God is able. Yes, God is able. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17, it says here, I want to give this word of encouragement to somebody out there in the radio land. He said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Yes, God is saying, don't be afraid. The battle that you are facing today is not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. And the Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat, he feared. You read verse 1, he said the enemy came, and the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and they came, and the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Here we go, over 1 million soldiers coming against Jehoshaphat and his people. The Bible says Jehoshaphat feared, and then he went into a fasting. He called upon God. I'm going to talk to you about the three major powerful weapons, I call it weapons of mass destruction, that God has given to the children of God. Three powerful weapons. Though the enemy came and Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, Mm-hmm. But the Bible says he went into fasting. And when he went into fasting, he called the people to fast. And as they were fasting, they prayed. They called upon God. He said, God, are you not the God of heaven? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Jehoshaphat and his people fasted. And then Jehoshaphat prayed. One key weapon that you, as a child of God, will use in dealing with your enemy is to fast. Many a time we panic and we fear. But God said, fear not, for I am the Lord your God. They fasted. And then they prayed. Jehoshaphat prayed. The key to your power is to fast and to pray. And Jehoshaphat prayed. Look at the verse he said here. And he said, O Lord God, our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdom of heaven? And in thy hand is there not power and might? Is that to talk to God? God, I know that you are all-powerful. I know that you are a powerful God. I know that you do the impossible. It's time to praise God. We must recognize
Amen.
The power of God. We must know that our God is able.
Amen.
Amen. And
Amen.
Then he went with the people to see the prophet. And the prophet said, Jehoshaphat, yes, hear ye now, O Judah and the inhabitants of Judah. And the King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I'm talking to somebody. The battle you are facing today is not your battle. The Lord God shall fight for you. And Jehoshaphat bowed down and started to worship God. He held on to the word of the prophet. And as he was worshiping, he said, believe the Lord your God, ye children of Judah, and ye shall be established. Believe the prophets, and you shall prosper. Glory be to God. We need to know God, that he can establish us. We become unshakable, and then we believe the prophet that speaks on behalf of God, the word of God. The prophet is a teacher. The prophet hears from God and gives the direction and leads the people to God. And Jehoshaphat, when he spoke those words, he sends some singers and worshippers before the army. The Bible says, when he sent the worshippers and the singers, they started to praise God. And as they do that, look at what happened. Something happened that is incredible. Glory be to God. He says here, in verse, and Judah stood before the Lord with their wands. In verse 22, and said, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Let me tell you today, when we start to worship God, when we start to magnify him, when we start to lift him up, God will do the impossible. God set ambushments against the enemies of Jehoshaphat, and they slew themselves. The Bible said, when they came the next day, they found nothing but dead bodies, and they started to gather the spoil. God gave them victory. Three main things we need to hold on as the children of God, as we face circumstances and challenges. Number one, we need to fast. Number two, we need to pray. Prayer changes everything. And number three, we need to praise and worship him. God will fight our battle. The enemies that we see today, we shall see them no more. God is on our side.
Yes.
Christians need to rise up in unity and fast and call upon God and pray. Prayer is the key, is the master key. God has given us this power to intercede and to pray. And then worship him, glorify him, praise him, and honor him. And God, to your situation, and give you a breakthrough. This holiday season, I'm calling upon the Lord to strengthen each and every one of us but also know that before we step into the new year, we must be prepared. God is able, and when he opens, nobody can shut. And when he shut, no one can open. He is on our side, the same God that gave victory to Jehoshaphat and his people can also give you victory. In no matter what you are facing, I will give you a breakthrough in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Our God is an awesome God.
Yes.
Amen.
The God of battle. Yes.
Amen.
We meet us at the point of need. Say,
Amen.
Good God. He answers prayers. Yes.
He is indeed. He is indeed.
Yes, that's the God that fought the battle for Samuel. That's the God that fought the battle for Elijah and Elisha. That's the God that will fight your battle too. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I just know tonight has been a blessing from God, and God has blessed us, and all I can say is hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God has been good to us tonight. We've seen God do some awesome things on the radio, on the program, and all I can say is ain't nothing like God.
Amen.
I be open and say ain't nothing like God. I don't care what nobody say. He woke us up early this morning.
Yes.
In our right mind. And here we are at the close of the evening. And God is still saying, I love you. Do we still love him? Yes.
Yes.
And all I can say to y'all, my beloved, we got about 3 minutes left here. So on the radio station. And Prophet, we're so good to you back with us on the air. We thank God for you, and we love you. We want God to keep you in his hand more now than ever, because you belong to God, not us. You belong to God. And
yes.
God is using you. He's using you. But I will say to
yes.
you, get ready, because God is going to drop a bomb. It's called A-L bomb. All in love. He's going to drop that bomb. It's called all, if you're in love with him. Folks saying, what did he come from? Because we see what God say. And I just
yes.
say tonight, amen. Anybody got
amen.
Anybody got any last words? We just going to keep continue to give God the glory. I don't care what
yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And just keep your eyes. Keep your eyes on him.
Yeah, keep man.
Keep your eyes on him.
Yes.
Because when we keep our eyes on the king, ain't nobody can do nothing to do us in the home.
Yes.
Nobody but the king. He's our king. And I just say to you tonight, I love y'all. I love you so much. I love you so much.
Yeah, man.
And so.
Thank you.
We just want to say we love you tonight. I'm just going to. Let it go on off and let God have his way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
Be to God. Thank you.
Now,
thank you, Doctor.
We're going to be back in sync next Tuesday night. Amen? Because we got a lot of
Amen.
Work to do, my brother. We got a lot of work to do. I love y'all, and God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm
options are I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm on church now, hurting of you. I can't say what led to truth is no strength to cry, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. What the will change my life? Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. The gaze upon your glory and sing to you. Truth is it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people's name. Lost feet right now, right in falling rain. Oh yeah, we're friends, we're chasing now. To you, the healer that I need. Take me to the King. Don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone.
Have you ever wondered where some of your favorite artists got their inspiration? Get the story behind the songs. Click on the United map below to see which of our 350 destinations have inspired some of the biggest hits from top artists around the world, and get a free custom playlist courtesy of United.
Oh,
to us to ask us. God sees, he sees us and goes. God willing, and he's able. This didn't catch him by surprise. So if you trust him, just say, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Who is Lust lets you stream great shows like Family Guy instantly to your phone, tablet, or TV.
Say what?
Watch as much as you want for only $7.99 per month.
I'm taking enough of it.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to take enough of it. Right now, there's a special offer for Spotify listeners. In 2 weeks, Hulu Plus absolutely free.
No way, that's awesome.
Click on the banner or go to HuluPlus.com/Spotify. Start your free trial now. Let's do this.
Never knew my life could be this way. I never knew I could shine all day. Never thought I'd live beyond my past until I found you. I never thought I'd be in this place. Oh, I'm blessed so that I'm living my life in this place. Ooh, I never knew my heart can't live again. I was so hurt, so hurt. Never knew the pain. Never thought the tears would go away. Love
of my tears would go away
until I come.
Yeah.
Oh. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. What love will change my life? Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. To gaze upon your glory and sing to you the song. Please take me to the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people's sake. Lord, speak right now. Lord, it's all I pray. For every best friend would pay to see now. To you, the healer that I need. Take me to the King. Don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. Don't have much strength. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
Great shows like Family Guy instantly to your phone, tablet, or TV.
Say what?
Watch as much as you want for only $7.99 per month.
I can't get enough of it.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to take it up a notch.
Right now, there's a special offer for Spotify listeners. In 2 weeks, Hulu Plus absolutely free.
No way, Josh!
Click on the banner or go to HuluPlus.com/Spotify. Start your free trial now. Let's do this.
Don't you worry, you don't have to cry. God sees, He sees what is gold. God will eat, and He's able. This didn't catch him by surprise.
just said, let the cry and be saved. Don't question it. For these obstacles, they go down. Yes, he wants to take you higher, higher if you hold on. And he's able. This didn't catch him by surprise. So we would trust him instead. Don't step aside. Oh, he is faithful. My God is faithful to do what he said he would do. And if he said, I believe it, there's nothing he can do. Just stand on his word.
Stand on his word.
Cast your cares on him. For he knows that he loves you. He did it for me.
I know that he'll do it.